I know there are a great deal of visitors. We had a great deal of visitors in our Sunday school, and I hope that they've come on over to worship. If you are visiting with us this morning, not a member of our church, if you would raise your hand, please, so that we can give you a visitor's card. Keep them raised till an usher gives you a visitor's card. Keep them raised in the balcony or on the lower floor. Fill it out completely for us, and when the offering plate is passed later on in the service this morning, if you'll put that visitor's card in the offering plate as it passes by you. Let me share several announcements of the week with you. This afternoon, youth choir, you'll remember that you have a workshop beginning at 4:30 here at the church, a youth choir workshop, and supper will be provided for you, a snack supper, sometime in the afternoon. So you'll remember that. And then they will be singing this evening after they've, in the evening worship service, after they've been in workshop for the afternoon. So you'll want to come and be in evening worship to not only hear them, but to be in evening worship service with us. Nominating committee, remember that you meet at 6:15 this evening. An added meeting on Wednesday night at 6:30 is the recreation committee. If you're a member of the recreation committee, if you would meet here at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. And our quarterly business meeting is Wednesday at 7:30. So you remember these different committee meetings and things that you need to be in throughout the week. Our Annie Armstrong offering goal is $1,850, and to this time we have $1,518.75. So we're still short of our goal, but we still have some time, another week or so, to get that money in. If you've not given to Annie Armstrong, to the home missions offering, and you still have opportunity to. There are offering envelopes in your pew pockets. Thank you.
Father, as the disciples walked together years and years ago, they invited Jesus to come into their home to abide with them. And they felt something of that spirit when they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us and opened the scriptures?" Today we trust that our Lord will once again meet with us and will enable us, as we open the scriptures, to see the same truth that the disciples found in Revelation and to respond with burning hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your hymnal and turn with me to 448. We'll stand together, please. 448, as we stand and sing the first and third stanzas of Because He Lives. The first and third stanzas as we stand.
Turn in your Bibles to the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13 of Luke's Gospel. Chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, 7 or 8 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and condemned him to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when early at the sepulchre, and they found not the body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and they said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but they say saw him not. And he said unto them, O fools of slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures. And then skipping down, after this experience, in verse 32, they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? There is nothing like the scripture to give a person a burning heart. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. We unite now in meditation and in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these moments in which we can lift up our gratitude to thee. We can also thank thee for this day and for the joys of it and the beauty of it and for all that you provided us with. We thank Thee, Father, today for our Lord who lives and who walks among men as in the years gone by. We are grateful that whenever people invite Him in, that He will abide and that He will bless them. This morning we are thankful that we can invite Him into our hearts. And we are thankful today that there are many, many people who are here and who will need a little help on some personal problem. And Jesus is here and He'll meet that need, whatever it is. And we pray that You would bless them in a special way. And then, Heavenly Father, if there's one here today who does not know Thee as Lord and as Savior, may they today invite Thee in. And now we pray for those, that great host, who are sick, who are shut in, who are lonely, and who need Thy presence and healing. Bless them, we pray, and be with them this hour. How wonderful it is that we can enter into the closet as Jesus instructs us and bring all of these personal matters which we have, the confession of sin, the expression of praise, the pouring out of our hearts, and accepting the promises and the victories that Jesus has already won. Now, Lord, may each of us somehow feel that we have had a meeting with Thee in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Our offertory hymn is 117. As we turn together, we'll sing the first and last stanzas together. First and last stanzas, 117, as we stand.
Father, bless the tithes and offerings this morning and use them for Your glory. And bless, we pray Thee, our gifts for our mission cause, and that the name of Christ might continue to be preached. For it's in His name we ask it. Amen.
gathered in the city now to see the entrance of the King. Spreading garments in the way and waving palms, they line the streets to honor praise. King of Kings, they see the Son of God above.
On this Palm Sunday that we hear this music, and you'll be able to hear our wonderful choir as Mike directs them next Sunday night, Easter Sunday, and that's not very far away, and we want to invite you to come and be with us. This morning, I want to go back to the resurrection story and talk to you about two disciples on the Emmaus Road following Easter. It's early as they walk along and a stranger joins them. Their hearts are very cold. They had pinned all their hopes on Jesus, and now they're walking this 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem, just dejected, and a guest joins them, and one of the most dramatic things and one of the most fascinating experiences to take place happens in the lives of these two people. They walk a defeated path, and then they find some warm fellowship. And finally, we find the results of the scripture. First of all, a defeated path. Darkness has covered the olive slopes, and Gethsemane has passed. The mockery is over. The trial and tragedy of Calvary has taken place, and Christ, thought they, had gone to defeat. He had been placed in a tomb. They did not recognize the whole affair somehow, that all of these 3 years that he had been with them. Why did they not recognize him? In Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, it tells us the beginning of this story. two men walk along on the way to Emmaus, which was just about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They talked among themselves about what had happened and what had passed, and they talked about the future. They were preoccupied with these things. People today get preoccupied with things and fail to see that here is a wonderful Savior. They lack discernment. Even the chief priests had put a guard on the tomb that they might safeguard the Christ. But in their sorrow, in verse 17 it says, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk, and you are sad?" They had lost their confidence. They felt that Jesus did not have the ability to do what he said he would do. And the cross had truly destroyed him. And they were not sure that he had won any victories. And they thought they had lost Jesus, really. I think about that great picture that Watts painted about hope. It was an awful scene. It was the picture of a delicate woman with a bandage around her head and the very mark of despair upon her face. In her hand was a harp. All the strings were broken except one, and she was seemingly playing upon that one string. What the artist was trying to say was, even though there's one string left, there's always hope. When fortune goes, when health goes, when friends go, when all of these things come upon us and we're sad, there's one string of hope. This picture saved a woman in London who was looking in an art gallery and visualized this woman and said, "This is the meaning of my own life of despair." And she said, "I must give life one more chance." These disciples had lost heart. They were dejected in every way as they walked away from Jerusalem that day. They were down. You remember William Cowper, that hymn writer, who was so despondent that he tried suicide 3 times. One time he tried to drown himself in the river. Another time he drank some poison. Another time he left a cocked revolver. And somehow God touched his life. And then he wrote these remarkable lines: "God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm." So they were sad, they were dejected, and they were going away from Jerusalem with all hopes shattered. And then we find in this 15th verse, as they walked along, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. As they communed, he came and joined them. Now, this brought a different light to things. One of the surprises of the resurrection was that Jesus was still with them. Jesus had been with them in Jerusalem before he was placed on a cross. Now they found that Jesus was with them after he had been raised from the tomb. And that's the key
to your life and to my life today, we have this living, risen Lord, and that's a parable of your experience and my experience, that we can fellowship and walk with him today. He still is our companion. Now, is this companionship and fellowship for everyone? No. Remember, these were disciples of Jesus. So he joined and blessed their lives. And in order for a person to be blessed of him, they must become his disciple. They must join him and let him join their hearts. It was the lowest ebb in their lives, and trouble and a broken heart. And here he comes when they have grief. Look at this in verse 28. And as they drew near unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would go a little further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. The Lord never forces himself upon anyone. He only comes in when we invite him. When we open the door and invite him to come in, he comes. Henry Light, a wonderful preacher in England, years ago, the doctor said to him, You'll have to leave this part of the coast and go to another area to live for your health's sake if you want to live. So on a September, he preached his last sermon to them. Late that afternoon, he walked out into the wooded area, and when the shadows were falling, there came to him that remarkable line of poetry, Abide with me. And he wrote it out. And he based it on this verse of scripture here, where the disciples invited Jesus to abide with us, they said. You come and abide with us. And so Christ was near, and Christ came in. In verse 31, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he brake it, and he gave it to them. They went about making a meal. And as soon as the meal was ready, Jesus sat down with these two disciples, and he took and looked to heaven and blessed it. And then he broke the bread and passed it around to those